Perek Vav, we went through the horses, and did we finish the Radak? Goes to Pasuk Ches. No, we didn't finish the Radak. We're up to in the Radak Pasuk Zayin. Okay, that's where we are up to. According to the Radak, no, we didn't even get so far. Let's do Pasuk Vav. Okay, let's chazik, because this nevuah, for some reason, I don't know why, it really appeals to me. There are a lot of yesodos in this nevuah, the Dala Malchus. The Dala Malchus, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Dala Malchus, the sugya of Dala Malchus. It's a very big sugya. It spans the entire world history, the Dala Malchus. As Reb Mechol will tell you, it's a very, very powerful stuff. And this is the third vision in Sefer Zechariah that discussed the Dala Malchus. And it's probably much. It's very, very elaborate. So we learned over here. Okay, we learned the approach of the Radak, and let's start just from Pasuk Vav Asher Ba. Pasuk Vav said the Ba Susim Hashachayim Yotzim El Eretz Safain. We already learned about the four different types of horses, the four different colors. There are the red, that's Bavel. Then there are the black. The black is Modai, and according to the Radak, the reason why they're called black, the second thing he said was, he quotes what Rashi and the Mitzudai said, that they blackened the faces of the Jewish people during the time of Haman. And then he says another interpretation, the reason why it's called black, because black really is multicolored, Sidukim, multicolor, which we discussed yesterday at length, the significance of black and colors. Then we came to the white. The white refers to Yavon in the understanding of the Radak. Why Yavon? So he didn't really explain. He said he doesn't know why. He doesn't know why white is the color of Yavon. That's exactly what he said. And the other Mepharshim told us that white is because the Mitzudai says they wore white robes. That's why they're called white. And the other interpretation we came with is, sorry?
Sometimes they thought you use black, like people's faces were blackened out of anxiety.
That's what the
oppressor. And the other one is that they turn pale because of the decrees of the Greeks.
Okay, that's a different idea. Okay, that's a different idea.
Yeah, both of those metaphors to use. I think that's what he was saying.
And then we learned in the Mitzudos that white represents beauty. White is beautiful. They like to say black is beautiful. Maybe that's just a Lashon Saginar. Okay, Lashon Saginar. Black is beautiful. It's white is beautiful. And now we come over here, and then we came to the Merkava Harvias, which was the horses that were Birudim Amutzim. Now we learned he didn't really tell us what it means Amutzim. He just quoted the Targum, which means ash in color, and he did say Birudim means bright spots, which basically we discussed yesterday, which means it's highlighted. There's a black border. You have a white spot with a black boundary. So he really explains because there's a complex mix. This refers to Edom. Edom has the Torah. That's what he said. That's the Radak said, a very controversial thing. Edom has a shaychus to the Torah. The only problem is they have distorted it. They have hijacked. They have abused it. They have taken the Torah, which represents the white, and they've added to the white this thing called the Amutzim, this black grayish color. They have darkened the beauty, the whiteness of the Torah, of the Old Testament, by calling it old, and by, who knows, and manipulating it and interpreting it in a false, corrupt way. Okay, now
we have an expression, blurring the lines, right?
Blurring, okay.
So it's something like that, taking the white and kind of blurring it into some shade of gray or that kind of thing.
Okay, so we have gone through the four horses, the four Malchios, Bavel, Parasamodai, Yavon, and Edrim. Now, in Pasuk Vav, he describes what the activity. After we have defined the objects, we have now to define the activity of what is taking place. Pasuk Vav says, Asher bo, v'lezochar hu adumim ki kvar avda malchus bavel. We don't mention now the red. We do not mention the red horses. Why not? Ki kvar avra malchus bavel. Because Babel already is out of the picture. We're not going to discuss any activity relating to the red. They're gone. Right now, Zechariah is speaking to his generation, current events. And in this generation, there is no Babel any longer. And the Malchus of Paras and Madai, they're now attacking and destroying, obliterating Babel. They're taking the world stage. They're taking the center stage. They rule the entire world. Then come the white, the halavanim, shemalchus yavan, yatsu el acharehem, shemalchus gavra, shar alexandros, moiklan, hamel harishan, leyavan, harak, daryavesh, bebavel. He murdered Daryavesh Hamadi in Bavel, the lokach hameluchah mimenu, and he took the melucha from him. Daryavesh Aparsi, what am I saying? Daryavesh Aparsi. Okay, I don't know that. I never knew this, that Alexander the Great, this is new to me, Alexander the Great, he murdered the son of Esther Hamalka. That's what it says. Over here, we're referring over here to the king of Modai, Paras of Modai, Daryavesh HaParsi, that was the son of Esther, and it says here, he went and Alexander the Great, Alexander Moglen, Hamelach Harishon, Liyavon, Horag, Daryavesh, Bibavel, Veloka, Hamalucha, Menu, Molach, Achakachu, Vehaboim, Achara, B'chol Olam. For the next 180 years, he was the leader. So that's a very frightening concept, is that you know, we look at Esther Ksef Kol Hanisim, and along came, After the story of Purim comes the story of Hanukkah. It's very interesting that it's really reverse. I never thought about this. Is that when we celebrate the holidays throughout the year, we celebrate first Hanukkah and then Purim. We like to think of the holidays in a nice order. We go in order. Everything is kaseder. First, you know, we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Thanksgiving. That's also one of the Jewish holidays, right? And then we come to Hanukkah. And after Hanukkah comes Purim. So in our minds, the order is Hanukkah and Purim. But the truth is, it's not like that. It's the other way around. It's first Purim and then Hanukkah. And this is so much so, it is so significant to appreciate that point, because what was the success? What was the climax, the triumph of Purim? It was Esther Hamalka's had a son. The son was Daryavesh. And Daryavesh was the one who gave permission for Klal Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And then who came along? Yavan. And Yavan, who is the head of Yavan? And is Alexander. Alexander the Great. And what did he do? He murdered Esther's son. And that started the process of a long, complex process where there was a Gezeres Hashmad, that we were slated for destruction in a spiritual way, and they almost succeeded. And then we had the Nitzachon of the Chashmonoim. So the order is the opposite. And yet in the calendar, we look at Purim as for some reason being after Hanukkah. That's a very interesting thing. Why is it arranged that? I mean, these are the calendar dates. I mean, what are you going to talk about? That's the calendar dates. But still in our mind, it's very a little bit confusing. Okay, next. Now we go over here to, he went, come out, this is a very, very powerful thing, is what he's over here. Next, we come to the next line. Now we come to the Malchus of Edoim. Edoim, we're calling over here the word Birudim. Who are the Birudim? The Birudim are the spots. Zo Malchus Roimi, Mashama Yotsu El Eretz Hatemon, She Eretz Hadorem, Avorki Roimi, Heat, Sofona, it's in the north. What we mean with that, because Rome is in the north, that's where they started out, and they expanded. They expanded Velul Yonus, or Velulius Caesar.
Hey, Julius.
Julius?
Julius Caesar.
Okay, Julius, yes. Caesar. Julius,
yeah, like
Caesar.
Giuliani is Giuliani.
Luliani is Giuliani. Giuliani, the mayor? The mayor? Okay. All right, fine.
Yeah, Rabbi Levine, good morning. Shalom
Aleichem, you made it.
Okay,
you
I'm
made
on
it.
With,
Baruch Hashem,
Rabbi
Noam is Moise Nefesh, all the way from Florida, the shine state.
Right, Moise Nefesh.
With no snow, there's no salt, just palm trees and oranges, sitting there sipping a pina colada, joining the shir and the koilo here in Brooklyn. We're under siege. It's not so bad. You know, we've seen a lot worse. Okay, but it's not so nice outside, but it woke up this morning. It wasn't like the world came to an end the way they made it sound. Right.
How many inches of snow you have there?
Less than a foot. Not going to convince me there's more than, there's less than a foot. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't look at
the
news.
Okay, go learn. Okay.
We've seen a lot worse here. Okay, let's go further. Julius Caesar. Velulionus or Velulius, Kesar Mel Shemelcha Shemelcha Roma Hechel Lihilachim Bemalchus Yavan, Uskilas Milcha Moisav Yotze Eleritz Mitzrayim Mashi Hadremis. That's where he went, to the south. He was in the north, we're calling over here Egypt in the south. Why is Egypt in the south? I guess it is. It's really west. It's west from where he is, but I guess it's also considered to be in the south. Okay. Uvacholarotze, Sahayu Molchim Beneb Yavan Oz, Vze Lulionus Kesar. He took away the Maluch from Yavan and he gave it back. Now, I don't know what this word over here is. He returned it? They never had it to begin with. What does that mean? He returned it. Whatever it means, he now dominated.
Rabbi, where are you up to, please?
Page 765. Zechariah Perigvav, Pasik Vav. Vav. Two Vavs. In the Radak. So the Radak over here, from everything that we've learned so far, is the most straightforward. Rabbi Michal, this is like really, really straight shooter here. Okay, very classic Perush. We have Dalam Malchios, we have Bavel, Parasumadai, Yavon, Edoim, and we have the four colors. Red is Bavel, black or multicolored is Modai Uparas, and then we come white is Yavan, and now we come to this Malchus that is called Birudim Amutzim, spotted, white spots surrounded by gray, dark gray and ashen color, which represents Rome. And what happened? First was Bavel, then comes Modai Uparas, then comes Alexander the Great, which the Radak over here tells us a very important chiddush, which I never heard of this before, that Alexander the Great murdered the son of Esther. So we should hate him. We shouldn't glorify Alexander the Great. We have the story where Alexander the Great met Shimon HaTzadik, and he got off of his horse and he bowed before Shimon HaTzadik. And this took place 40 years into the Bayis. The Bayis Sheni. This took place in the same time when Malachi, the last prophet, died. The last prophet, Malachi, died. And that time, either that year or that day or that era, whatever it was the end of Nevuah. And Alexander the Great arrived in Yerushalayim. And Shimon HaTzadik came to greet him. In his Big Day, Chazal say he's wearing the Big Day Kahuna, the Big Day Shemayna, and there's a lot of halachic debate. How was he permitted to wear the Big Day Kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash? A kohen is only allowed to wear the clothing b'shas avoida. If you wear the clothing when you're not doing avoida, that's mi'ila. You're deriving benefit from the property of the Beis HaMikdash when you're not doing avoida. It's not so similar. It's a big topic. How was Shimon HaTzadik permitted to wear the Big Day Shemayna outside of the Beis HaMikdash? He wore the clothing and he greeted Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great got off his horse and bowed before him, and he declared that this person is the image of the angel that I see in heaven that goes before me and allows me to conquer the world. And to the great dismay of all of his soldiers, he humbled himself before Shimon HaTzadik, and Shimon HaTzadik made an agreement with him that he should not destroy the Beis HaMikdash in exchange for two things. It was a very, very difficult deal. And we didn't come away, we suffered. What was the deal? From here on in, all documents would be dated from the date of the Malchus of Yavan, from the time that Alexander the Great ruled, which something very strange, I'm going to come back, this is very important in one moment, from the time of Alexander the Great, all documents will be dated from that point. Wait till when we go to a wedding, what do they say? It's 5,781 years, Libriya So'ilam, from the time of creation, Leminyon She'anu Moinin Kan, in Brooklyn, New York. See, I never understood why they say according to the way we count in Brooklyn. Because if they would go to Wisconsin or Nevada or Pennsylvania or Georgia, they count very differently.
I'll say.
It wouldn't be 5,781 years. Who knows what it would be? It might be like 200,000 years from Briyas Olam. So you have to know how to count. You can't take anything for granted anymore. You have to know how to count. Leminyan Shanu Kan. We're here in Brooklyn, New York. And this unsere Chevra, we have a way of counting. Other people have different ways of counting. Okay, but they decide we count from Briyas Olam. But they counted differently. They from then on in they count from the time when the malchus of Yavon, when Alexander the Great rose to prominence. That is what number one. Second deal, Mikan Labo, people would name all of their children Alexander, and every Alexander we have today, we have in our Shir. We have an Alexander, he's not here right now, but we have an Alexander. Every Alexander can trace his name back to Alexander the Great. That was
for 1 year, right?
It's not so clear. I don't know. I mean, for 1 year, then those people died. And I mean, I guess many years later, and then people named after right. that. And it perpetuated. The Alexander Hasidim, before World War II, the largest group of Hasidim in the world were the Alexander Hasidim. And they were decimated. There was no group of Hasidim that was decimated to the degree like the Alexander Hasidim. And they never really...
They placed across from Chaim Berlin, right?
They never... What?
The Alexander Stiebel there?
No, there's no Alexander Stiebel in Flatbush. There's an Alexander in Bar Park. There's an Alexander Stiebel in Bar Park, not in Flatbush, not that I'm aware of. But Alexander Hasidim never really rebuilt to the degree that other groups rebuilt.
I have an uncle, Oliver Shalom, whose name was Chaim Alexander Nyman. He was the Shver of the Ribnitzer Rebbe, Zichron Lebracha.
Wow.
He was the Shver.
So.
In other words, his daughter, Zivik Sheni, from his daughter.
And yeah. She has almost a bigger matzeva than he does, and all the women come to Milka. What's her name? Malka.
Frida Milka, yeah. It's my cousin. She was my cousin, yeah.
My cousin too.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're related. Yeah. Mayor, look at that. The more you talk to Mayor, the more you talk to Mayor, the worse it gets.
By the way, the Alexander Hasidim, I think, had a big Torah institutions all over Poland, right?
Yeah, they were massive.
Yeah, the biggest yeshivas are there.
They were massive. The Alexander Hasidim were the dominant force of Hasidim pre-war Europe. And Rahman Lutzlan, well, look what happened. They were completely wiped out. Hitler Yimach Shmo
v'Zichro. There's a tiny shul on 16th Avenue.
There's a stiebel. There's a very small stiebel. It's not, it doesn't seem like, you know, whatever. It's not like Satman, Babov, and all these other Hasidim, which are worldwide billionaire, trillionaire organizations today. All right, whatever it is, we have over here Alexander. Now, this, I always like to talk to you about this, and that is, this caused Klal Yisrael enormous harm. And basically, Alexander the Great, he won. Because by dating Shtaros to his rise in power, everyone began to worship Yavan. Oh, if you go to a wedding and you're dating your star, we're getting married, it's 5 years from the rise of Alexander the Great. Wow, everyone begins to talk about, you know, Greek philosophy, Greek culture. And if everyone's name is called, oh, Alexander, oh, you're a miyuchas, you're named after the tzaddik, Alexander the Great. So before you turn around, this is an extremely brilliant technique of Alexander the Great. Even though he gave up, he decided not to physically harm Klal Yisrael, but by insisting on these two takanois, this this caused over a long period of time enormous damage to the neshama of Klal Yisrael. And as we learned this week, according to Rav Soloveitchik and the Reish Rav, at the time of Hanukkah, 99% of Jews were no longer religious. And I don't know to what degree you can trace it to these two takanos, but obviously these two takanos had an effect, did have a contributing effect to the tragedy that would happen to Klal Yisrael at this time. Now, what?
I saw in Rav Moshe Shapiro a rather different perspective on the Indian of the Shtoros, that, you know, that this was the transition period between the era of the Nevi'im and the rise of the Talmidei Chachamim as the determiners of Halacha. And he says that this compromise was a basically a triumph of the Chachamim.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Chacham Adolf Minavi. So this was a statement by Chazal that we should now understand that Nevu is no longer here, but you have to appreciate that all hope is not lost. We have Talmidei Chachamim. And in fact, Chacham Adolf Minavi. Fascinating. Obviously, Ayin Panim L'Toyra. There are many different dimensions as to the significance of this thing that we call the Minyan Shtoros. When we say that whenever you hear this era, the documents are dated from a certain time called the Minyan Shtoros, that's just a hidden reference to Alexander the Great. Rav Chol is saying there's another approach, which Rav Moshe Shapiro Zecher Tzadik Livracha says refers to the era of Nevuah coming to an end and the rise of the authority of the Talmidei Chachamim, which is exactly the same point, because as I told you in the beginning, when did Alexander the Great arrive in Yerushalayim? Exactly 40 years after the building of the Bayis Sheni. What happened that year? Malachi died. The last prophet died. When the last prophet died, who took his place? The Talmidei Chachamim. Now we're dealing with a new era. And that's when Alexander the Great decided, you're now going to go and count your documents from now, from when I have arrived, when I have shown my power in this world. So it's the same exact date. The question is, how do we look at it? Do we look at it as the significance of the fact that there are no longer prophets, now we're going to focus on Talmidei Chachamim, or do we focus on Alexander the Great? What you say, Michal, is very interesting, is because Chanukah is all about Torah. And the antidote to Alexander the Great is Torah. That's so the two go hand in hand. Okay, there's the Makkah and there's the Refuah. The Makkah is Alexander the Great, but the Refuah is the Talmidei Chachamim, is the Chavivus, the connection to Talmud Torah. So it's interesting, the two indeed do go hand in hand. Now, what is over here is very shocking to me at this moment, is that if Alexander the Great only rose to prominence, only took hold of the world of world power by killing, executing, murdering Daryavish HaParsi, the son of Esther, and that's when his Malchus began, and Minyan Shtoros is counted from that moment in time. So you know what that means? It means that Minyan Shtoros is from the murder of the son of Esther. Isn't that very tragic? That's the Minyan Shtoros. So we have now Lamaskan here in the Shir, really three. There's a thing called Minyan Shtoros. When you date a document, the date of the document, the number, is counted from an event. What is that event? We have now three very different events that took place at the same time. The murder of Daryovish HaParsi, who was the son of Esther Hamalka. Number two, Alexander the Great arriving in Yerushalayim and bowing before Shimon HaTzadik and committing not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash if the Jewish people will date their documents from now. And number three, the end of the Tkufa of prophecy. So this moment...
Yeah, Rabbi, our documents nowadays, secular documents, are dated, we say Limus Parum, that's Christianity.
No, that's nothing. No, that's nothing. We date that. We don't date documents today to go, a Jewish document to 2020. That's nothing.
No, secular. You write a check. You write 2020. No,
that's not a religious document.
Jewish documents. Halachic documents.
When there was a wedding, you go today. We were to repeat. When you go today to a wedding, so they read the ksuba. So they say, what is it? It's a be'echad b'shabbos, chav zayin yamim l'chodesh kislev, and hey alofim, and sheva me'ayis u'shmoinim ve'echad shanim l'briyas ha'olam. Yeah. Leminyan Sha'anu Moinen Khan, Brooklyn, New York. So every single Jewish document today is dated from creation. Correct?
Right.
And what's creation?
Right.
5,781 years. That's not the way it was done, right. Done all the time. That's not the way it was done. If that's a new thing, you should know. I can't tell you exactly when we started.
No. I think that was the original way of dating until we had Jewish kings from which to date them.
No, it's Yitzias Mitzrayim. No, I believe not. I think
oh,
I
can't. Right. Yitzias Mitzrayim, okay.
Right.
Can I add just one more point here? Moshe Shapiro adds specifically on this point of dating from creation, that what's the point of creation? The Ma'oros. The Ma'oros were designed to demarcate years, days, and so on, that our calendar derives from the Ma'oros, right? So now, so his point is that that the calendar authority is given to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim were the ones who made that determination about dating the stars from Alexander. He says that was the original purpose of the Ma'oros, was to form a calendar, and the calendar is in the power of the Chachamim.
The calendar are very good. Okay, so you say it goes hand in hand. It goes hand in hand because creation is the Ma'oros, and the Chachamim have power over time. Chanukah is about power over time, Chodesh, power over time. So the Chachamim, the Minyan Shtaros is showing that the creation zman is really determined, very good. The time is determined by the Chachamim. Okay, this is a very deep, clear idea. But let us go to just the state of clarity. Originally, how did they date Shtaros? From the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim until the establishment of the Malchus and Klal Yisrael, documents were dated from the zman of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That means the oldest date on those documents was 480. If someone shows you a document that says it's really even less, because there was David HaMelech, Shaul and David. If someone will show you a document that says it's 500 years from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that document is a fake. It's a forge, because there's no such date 500, because way before 500 there was already a king, Shaul HaMelech, and then David, and then Shlomo, and once there was an institution of Malchus and Klal Yisrael, all documents were dated from the king, from the current king. So we have Yitzias Mitzrayim, then we date documents from the kings, then we dated documents, it seems from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. I'm not sure about this. From when the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, they dated from the Zman of the Churban. I'm not sure, but maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what they did then. Maybe they couldn't have kings anymore. They didn't have kings. So what did they do when he showed up, when Alexander the Great showed up? I told you that it was 40 years into the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. How did they, the day before he showed up, did they date documents? You can't tell me they dated it from the Churban Bayis Rishon, because they built already a Bayis Sheni. You can't tell me they dated it from the kings. They were no longer kings. Zerubbabel wasn't a king. He was the acting king. So what do they do? I don't know. I don't know what they did. But one thing,
from creation.
You think so? Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. Creation seems to be a new idea, a new invention.
Well, how do you know it's new?
I don't know. All right, you're right. I don't know. What did they do after they rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash? Maybe what they did was they counted from the beginning of the Beis Hamikdash. It's now 21 years since the beginning of Beis Hamikdash. I don't know. Whatever they did. It's not so clear. But one thing we know: 40 years into the beginning of Vayesheni, they began counting from called Minyan Shtorois, which we have just said. Now three major events happened at that moment in time: the murder of Daryovish, the son of Esther, which is horrific. Number two, Alexander the Great arriving in Yerushalayim. Number three, it was the end of prophecy. How long did that go on for? That went on until the Churban Beis Hamikdash. About 420 years, minus 40, 380 years. I'm assuming for 380 years. After the Churban Bayisheni, it's clear as day, then they abandoned Minyan Shtaros, and documents were dated from the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's the way they did things. So if you would be going to a wedding, what did it say in Rashi's Ksuba? When Rashi got married, when the Rambam got married, wouldn't you like to have the Rambam's Ksuba? What did the Rambam write to his wife? What did the Rambam obligate himself to his wife? What did it say in the Rambam's Ksuba? I don't know. But L'chore, it said, it's very possible that it said the number of years since the Churban Bayis Sheni, which then would have been approximately 1,000 years, 1,100 years, when the Rambam got married, from the Churban Bayis Sheni. Now, I don't know when this happened. At some point in time, we lost track of time, because the Christians, they destroyed the calendar. The Christians, the Tsaros of Golis, they completely, it's amazing how far they went. They completely confused us, and we're all very confused today. There are missing years. There is a discrepancy between our calculation and the secular calculation. And there have been many books written on this, many ideas to explain how to bridge the gap between our calculation of time versus the secular calculation of time. And I think it's pretty much accepted, well accepted, is that our version is the correct version. And the Christians, they have basically manipulated, just like, you know, they've committed fraud in order to prove their point that there's a Yashka and there's a this and there's a that, in order to cover up evidence or in order to advance their agenda. They have manipulated the calendar and basically made up a whole, rewrote history of the calendar. That
proved, was that one of the popes in the 1400s changed?
It's called the Julian calendar. We just had the name Julian here.
Okay, there's a lot written about this.
That's just a correction, a slight correction, I guess, huh?
There's a lot written about this, okay. and we assume this, the common approach is we assume that our calculation is correct, and we know they manipulated the calendar. Okay, now, and therefore, because there was so much confusion because of the manipulation of the calendar, it's not clear exactly at what one point in time it became a new minhag in Klal Yisrael that when we calculate time from Bereas Ha'olam, from creation. And that's what we do today. Now, so the only point I really wanted to bring out over here is that when you learn in the Gemara about this thing called Minyan Shtoros, the calculation of documents, that means from this moment, 40 years after the building of the Beis HaMikdash, when three events took place. Daryovish HaModi was murdered by Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great arrived in Yerushalayim, and prophecy came to an end, and now the Talmidei Chachamim, they dominated, they were looked up as an authority to lead Klal Yisrael. This was the beginning, this day was the beginning of Malchus Yavan. Malchus Yavan, the Dalet Malchios, all of the different visions throughout Tanakh and Mamori Chazal, we talk about Yavan, it began on this day, 40 years after the building of the Bayis Sheni. Fine. Now we come to the fourth Malchus, the next words of the Radak, on page 765, Vehabarudim. We're done with that. Now we go to the next page, 767. We go to Pasuk Zayin. Now we go to Vehu Amutzim. Hu Az Amutzim. So here, the Radak is now going to make things a little bit more complex. Even though he only mentioned so far the Berudim Amutzim, and the Radak himself told us he doesn't even know what the word Amutzim means. He quotes the Targum. It means ash. Now, all of a sudden, the Radak says, I know what it means. Let me tell you. I'll tell you what it means. It means Yishmael. Esav has a partner.
Wait a minute. Radak. Wasn't it Rashi who said that he didn't know what it means?
No, the Radak said Rashi's Amutzim.
Okay.
But I think the Radak also say, I don't know, I don't remember. Omar Amutzim Ambabo Yatagum Kim Tonin Reitzoloimar Shemareim Kimari Hadeshen. Are you right? Okay, it was Rashi who said. Okay, the Radak said it means it looks like the color of Deshen, Ash. Dark color, Deshen. And when we learned the Mitsudos, he said this refers to who? Yishmael. Oh wait, what do we say? Alright, we have in front of us. Pasuk Zayin. According to the Radak, who are the Amutzim? The Amutzim are the Yishmaelim. The Amutzim him remez lamalchus Yishmael. Shehis Amitsu me atzmam levakesh malucha. So he's giving us a translation. His amtsu means they rose up. They exerted themselves. Okay, that's a whole different translation. Everyone is struggling with this word. Deshen. I thought it meant strength. Chazak v'yamotz. But that's not what it says over here. Shehis amitsu, which means to exert.
Yeah. Right.
To exert. Exert is not the same as strength, is it? Maybe it is. It's related.
Yes. Okay. Certainly.
Shehis amitsu, they strengthened themselves. They exerted themselves. They went to the gym to build up their muscles so they can be dominant. They want malchus, they want epis, they want something, they want recognition, they want honor. There is no ruach. We don't describe them as one of the dalal ruchais. This is amazing. According to the Radak, this whole dialogue, they want to go forth, is discussing specifically Yishmael, because they are nobodies. They are not part of the original plan. See, everyone else that we learned until now, all of the other commentators, when we had the dialogue, they wanted to go forth. That's describing one of the Dalet Malchiyos. And let's go back to Rashi. What was Rashi? I don't remember which one. Was Rashi? Rashi? Someone said, one of the Mefarshim said, their time came to an end. Yavan came to an end. And the one that's next online is really Yishmael. Yishmael is a ruach. Yavan said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. So Hashem said, if you don't want to leave, you can stay. But you have to transform yourself into Rome. And you will then work alongside Edom. That's what it said in the Mefarshim. I'm not making this up. That's not what the Radak says. The Radak over here learns that Edom is the Ruach. The one that doesn't belong is Yishmael. And Yishmael out of nowhere appears. Oh, look what's going on in this world. There's an Edom.
Can we frame it a little differently, based on the Maharal, that the Yishmael has its own power source, not the power source of the Malchios, and that is the brachos that they get from Abraham Avinu. So that's why they're still around. They have a different source, a different
okay.
bracha. But but Rome is Edom is around because they fill the vacuum that we vacated.
Okay. There's a different, they're not called Ruach. The morale fits very well with this Radak. there are four ruchos.
Adam could say they have the. You could say they have the brachas from Esav, from Yitzchak Avinu and Esav. Why not?
No, but we're supposed to be the dominant. The
ki beYitzchak, ki beYitzchak yikor lecha zara. Okay, whatever that means. Over here, the Radak is learning there are four ruchas. There are four primary malchias. Yishmoel is not a player. They don't belong on the world stage. Get out. You're an imposter. You don't belong here. And that's exactly what it says over here. We've gone through, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. The Radak over here is really amazing how we learn. So we go to the Dal Malchias. And we describe how all the four ruchos, they go out and they conquer the world. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, shows up, oh, v'hoamutzim yotzu. All of a sudden, gam shol banavim. Oh, I also, it's an expression. Oh, I also want to be a world player. The Yishma'elim, we also want power. And what does the pasuk say? Vayivakshu. They went to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they made a request. L'leches l'salich baretz. And Hashem said, you want? Okay, also come, get on the stage. We'll shine the limelight on you also. V'yom l'chu esalchu baretz v'tisalachna baretz. Unbelievable. That's how the Radak learns this line over here. V'amutzim heim remrem is like malchus yishmol she's amsu me'atzmam. It was not part of the divine plan that they should have any prominence in this world. They made a request. They were granted permission to conquer the world. Pasuk Zayin. At that moment in time, the Malach called out to Zechariah. Look to the north, and look who has deposited my spirit in the land of the north. What does this mean? Kolaymar, Eile Hashachoyrim, the black horses. This so far he's consistent with Rashi and the Mitzudais. We're now going backwards to current events, to Modai Uparas, who are the black horses. Shayatsu el Bavel lahashkisa, they are destroying Bavel. Osuli nachas ruach, they're giving me satisfaction. Sheheshkisu I saw by destroying this nation. Heinichu es ruchi es kaasi. Shahayli alehem. He translates the word ruchi identical to the Mitzudas David, which means ruchi means my anger. He's substituting the word anger for the word ruach. They are depositing my anger upon these wicked people. Because they're evil. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and they punished the Jewish people more than they were entitled to. I was only angry a little. And they went too far. The Malach screamed out to me, Umalel imi lememar, and the Malach said to me, saying, same thing, same exact thing. They went too far. The Nari quotes the Targum, the Yonasam Tigim beachreis alai malel imi lememar, chazisi dinofkin la'arot sipuna, see, that these horses are going to the north, emor lohoin avidu yasru usi, do my will be'ara tzipuna, do my will in the north. Same idea. He's giving instructions to the black horses, which is modai uparas, go and destroy Bavel. It's my desire. It is my desire that you should destroy these wicked people who have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so this is the Radak. Radak over here is similar, but yet very different than the other Mepharshim. The four Malchios, Yishmol is an outsider. They asked Hashem, they also want to be part of the equation, and permission was granted. Now let's see the Malbim. Malbim back on page 765. 765. We start with. Wait. Go back. I'm sorry. We'll go back further. We have to go back to. No, all the way back. We have to go back. We have a lot of malam over here. A lot going on over here. 763. Okay, so now we go back to the Malbim. We're now going to see a very different approach to this whole sugya. The Malbim was always out of the box. 763. Pasuk Aleph. V'ashuv v'esoy na'i v'hine b'mar harishon ro'a ish rechev al sus odom. He's putting this in context. In the previous vision, we saw a person riding on a horse. It's going back to Perakim. Or back a parak. I forgot to repack one parak. A person running on a horse, Shumalchus Yavon, Shetovsa Malchus Achar Dor Yovesh. He saw who is this that was going. If he's first reviewing the Malbim, is first reviewing what we learned back. He saw a person riding on a red horse. Who is the red horse in the opinion of the Malbim? Red is Yavon, not Bavel. Okay, so we have over here a very big difference. Immediately, before we even start, we have here a major shift, and this is going to get confusing. He says the red is Yavon. Ish roichev al sus adam shumalchus Yavon shetavsa malchus achar dar yovesh. It seized malchus from Modai. Now the Malbim does not say Alexander the Great murdered Dayovish. Doesn't say that here. All it says is that he seized Malchus. Viata now. Herahu Hamalchuyos Shayamdu Ba'olam Ad Achris Hayamim. And here we go. Now we're going over here from Rome forward. This is gonna be very interesting. Vero Arba Malkovos Yoitzais called Merkovahi Me Arbosusim. Each Merkova. This we had before from the Radak. Each chariot has four horses. Kikol Malchus si me arba malchuyos. Okay, we're gonna get really confusing here. You have to take out your calculator. Each malchus is a coalition. It's comprised of four malchus. Shekol ruach meruches ha'olam moishel oleha. Each of the winds of the ruches of the world moishel oleha malchus acheres. I don't know what that means. Let's see. Umushpas misar miyuchud, and they are influenced from one prince. Hamakabel meisa merkava halyoina that receives from Hakadosh Baruch Hu shachaluko gamkein laarba ruches that is also divided into four. K'moy shekosavti b'feish merkavis merchicheskel. I don't know what all this Kabbalah means. Veroisam yoitzais mibein shnei heharim ki rosh sheyu chalukos. He saw that these malchus are going up between two mountains. What is the symbolism of two mountains? Of two mountains, Sheshtei Markavos Yotzu Mehar Hamashris, two chariots went forth from Har Hamashris, V'asidim Lehora LiYisrael. Okay, two chariots went forth from the mountain of destruction. They're going to bring Korban to the Jewish people. Ushtei Markavos Yotzu Mehar Moed LeHeitiv Im Yisrael. Okay, so he's getting really complicated. There are four chariots, meaning there are going to be four malchios. Now, it means four malchios, not going back. Bavel, Parasumodai, Yavon, we're done. We're done with them. Well, I don't know, we're up to Yavon. We're going forward now to the end of days. And there are going to be four chariots. Two of these chariots are the good guys. And two are the bad guys, cops and robbers. Okay? There is the good and the bad. That's why it says they come forth from two mountains. It's like Har Gerizim and Har Evil, the mountain of blessing and the mountain of curse. Vehehorim and the mountains, Horin Choshas. Ki Malchus Bavel, Shehoisa Malchus HaZohov. The Malchus of Bavel was the Malchus of gold, the Malchus Modai. Shahoisa Shel Kesef, Kamo Shiroi, some Nebuchadnezzar Bachalam, like Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, he saw different medals referring to different kingdoms. Kivar Cholfu, they're gone. Mina Oilam, Umeata Tashil Malchus Yavon, Shanim Shlod Bachalam, Nebuchadnezzar, Lechosha Shub, Achara Kesef. Beautiful. Okay? So far, so good. Now, just to put this in perspective, if you remember, the last 2 days we mentioned again and again in Rashi and in the Mitzvot of it and in the Radak as well, that Nechoshes is symbolic of strength. It's symbolic of, it's a material that the Radak says is stronger than stone. It represents enormous power, dominance. And we learned in the Mitzvot, he says it a little bit different, which we don't really understand what it means. It means that the terrain is Nechoshes, and if the horses are able to ride on Nechoshes, it goes to show that they're very powerful, because ordinarily a horse to walk on metal would wear it out, no problem. So whatever according to all of the three mafarshim that we learned until now, the common denominator is Nechoshes means might, power, might. They're not subject to fatigue, to weakness. And then we did have one interpretation, one very interesting interpretation from the Radak that said Nechoshes refers to Nichush, the same letters. How do you say the word in English? Divination? Divination? I don't know how to pronounce it. Divination? Sorcery? Yeah, but how do you say that fancy word? Divination? Divination? Yes. What? Whatever it is. Sorcery. Koichois. Koichois of tumah, powers of forces of contamination, what we'll call fraud. If you can't win legally, then you'll do anything that you can to win illegally. You'll commit all the possible crimes, enlist the forces of the shadim and all the force of contamination in order to get what you want. That is how the Radak's second interpretation. We now come to the Malbim, and he says something completely different. Nechoshes, we're going back to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. In the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he saw metals. The gold was Bavel. The silver was Parasumadai. The copper was Yavan. So these four chariots that are coming forth are chariots coming forth from Yavan, which means, this is why Chanukah is a very important holiday. Everything, all according to the Malbim, everything that we are suffering today in Golos, which we call Edom, until the times of Mashiach, is purely a derivative of Yavan. Yavan is the source of Edom, and every tsar that we have today, it has come forth from Yavan. That's not the common approach. We commonly believe that Yavan is gone. They are gone, finished, kaput, not to be ever seen again. That's Chanukah miracle. Now we're dealing with a new tsara, the tsara of Edom. Okay, so we have a holiday of Chanukah to remember what Yavan did. And of course, Yavan of certainly, you know, there are echoes that lingers on, but the Malbim is much, much more intense. The Malbim says everything that we have in Golos today is directly derived from Yavan. The four chariots that are coming out of the two mountains, the Pasuk goes on to tell us the mountains are mountains of copper. Copper is the symbol of Yavan in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And the reason why there are two mountains, because Yavan, there are good elements of Yavan and there are bad elements of Yavan. As it says in the Pasuk, Yaft Elokim liyefes v'yishkoin be'ohol eshem. May Hashem grant beauty to Yefes, and may Yefes, may he live, may he dwell in the tents of shame, which refers to Klal Yisrael. But Yavan is a horror. Yavan tried to destroy us. That's right. Life is complicated. There are two branches of Yavan. There are two mountains. There are two mountains of copper. From one mountain comes two chariots, the good chariots, the Yaft Elokim liyefes, and from the other mountain comes two chariots that are going to destroy us, that are trying to destroy us. Further, The mountains are in the Choshes. Okay, I'm reading over here on page 763 on the right side of the bottom. Kimalchus, Bevel, Choshes, the Malchus, Hazov, we'll go further down. Let's go to Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. We're up to Pasuk Beis. Ba Merkava, how we shot in the first Merkava, Susim Adam, they were red horses. Malchus Yavon, Shayatza, Barishaina, Hayu Muchanim, Lishpoich Dam Rav. The first chariots that are coming forth, which are red, of Yavon, they're coming to spill a lot of blood. The red here is not a red, the red of Yavon from before. It represents bloodthirsty soldiers. Like we learned in the previous vision, that Zechariah saw a person riding on a red horse, and according to the Mitsuda, according to the Malbim, that means he saw Yavon, and the reason why it's red, nothing to do with the dream of Daniel. That's not part of his commentary here. Nothing to do with Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar's dream of copper. But here it's red because they're bloodthirsty people. Uva Merkava Hashenis Susim Shechoidim Shehu Malchus Roimi Sheachar Malchus Yavon Shehem Gamke Muchonim Lishpech Dom Vezen Nichla B'mara Shachar. This refers to Rome, which they're also bloodthirsty people. When it comes to shechita, when it comes to nida, the laws of nida, amare. So black is just a shade of red. This is a halachic principle. The Gemara says black is really red. It's just that the red dye or the red color has been damaged, and when there's damage, it looks black, but black and red can really be synonymous. So when it says here that we see now horses that are black, this refers to Rome, and Rome is also bloodthirsty. This blackness, moira al golos ha'efel v'hechashuch v'halaylo ha'arucha she'yil yishol b'golos roimi, Shtei ha-ma'arochoi so'ele yotsu mitzad.